Grab your Bible. It's time for Reading the Word with Justin Reed, sponsored by the Wood Church of Christ in Woodbury. Now, here's Justin.
Thank you, Brother Dearman, for that fine introduction. Thank you for tuning in. This is Reading the Word. My name is Justin Reed. Let's get right to our lesson at hand, shall we? We are in the 8th chapter of the book of Acts. We began our study last time we had this opportunity to assemble together. And what we are doing is we're just looking at the 8th chapter of the book of Acts in its entirety. And we discussed last time how the world was being, how Christians were being persecuted by a man whose name is Saul of Tarsus, later becomes Paul the Apostle. We see that when they were scattered, they took their Christianity with them and they preached the gospel in every village they came to. When Philip is told to go to Samaria, he preaches the gospel and they believe, they believe, and they are baptized. We also learned that you cannot buy the gift of God or blessings of God. And we also learned if you have sin in your life, the way to get rid of that is to repent, therefore, of this thy wickedness. Now let's continue in our study as we're going to look now in Acts chapter 8, starting in verse 26 and working our way through verse number 40, or the end of the chapter, and what has often been called the story of the Ethiopian eunuch, and we'll see why here in just a second. So join with me, verse 26, please. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. Now notice, Philip has already had a successful preaching career in Samaria. He could have said that he was good. He could have said, no, I have had success here. I'm going to retire. I'm going to rest upon my laurels. Friends, we may not always understand at the time the point and why certain things happen to us at certain times, but God knows. So notice who says this. The angel of the Lord spake unto Philip. And he says, go to Gaza. That was about 50 miles difference from where Philip was at. That's like if we got in our cars, wherever you're at, and you drove to Smyrna, there right outside of Murfreesboro, that's about 50 miles. Gaza was the last watering hole before the desert road. Either you went to Jerusalem or to Egypt. And some Greeks interpreted this to say when he says arise, it was midday. And you rarely traveled at midday, so that shows the urgency in God's command. Verse 27, and Philip arose and went. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority over Candace or Candace, I've heard it pronounced both ways, I was taught Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, he had come to worship to Jerusalem, or he come to Jerusalem for to worship. Ethiopia was figured in at least myths and legends as being the very end of the world. We began to discuss last week how Jesus Christ had said, you preach the gospel to me or for me, starting in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. And so the first gospel sermon is preached Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost in Jerusalem. They quickly go to Judea. At the beginning of Acts chapter 8, they're in Samaria. And now it's going to be evangelized. A person from Ethiopia or the uttermost parts of the earth is going to be taught the gospel. Ethiopia is south of Africa. There are black Africans there. They're Greek. It existed since about 3000 BC, history tells us. The kingdom of Merua, it flourished since the 8th century BC. At this time, Luke does not specify if this Candace was the ruling queen mother, or if it was generally used, or if it's just the king's wife. It's kind of like Herod or the president. You know, you could call President Bush, he's still president, either of them, although neither of them are serving in office, but they still hold that title. Candace was the same kind of thing. We do know one queen who was ruling during this time was Queen Nawadimak, but I don't know if that was her or not. Regardless, this eunuch is a man who is in a high position of power. Sometimes the Septuagint, or an older copy of God's Word, uses the term eunuch to refer to officials who are not true eunuchs. However, the word eunuch appears five times in our story. 27 verse, 34, 36, 38, 39. That tells me this man truly is a eunuch. And he controlled the wealth. I can tell he's wealthy because he's riding in a chariot big enough for four people. He's going to have a personal scroll of the book of Isaiah, and he has servants as well. But They were often regarded as half-men by Greeks. In fact, according to Deuteronomy 23 and verse 1, they would not be allowed from worshiping. So he has gone all this way, some 1,500 miles. He goes to Jerusalem to worship God, and he's not even allowed into worship the way that he wants to because he is a eunuch. But it's often thought that he would have been a eunuch because that way he could be close to the queen and there would be no way to try to seduce her to maybe giving an offspring and then that potentially becoming a ruler. And so that was more likely not the reason he was a eunuch. But he is a very important person. He is very dedicated to God. And like I said, he traveled 1,500 miles to worship, more or less. That's like if you traveled from here, wherever you're at listening to me, if you traveled from here to Phoenix, Arizona, that's about 1,500, give or take, depending on which road you take. He went all that way just to worship, friends. And I know people that live within 5 minutes of where they claim they go to church and they can't make it to every service. Friends, are you really dedicated to God? We're going to take a quick pause here. Coming up on the other side of this break, we will continue reading the Word and the story of the Ethiopian eunuch.
Reading the Word with Justin Reed is sponsored by the Wood Church of Christ. The building is located at 99 Sally Parton Road at the base of Short Mountain, 6 miles off 70 on Short Mountain Road on the left. Join us for Bible study Sunday at 10 a.m., worship at 11 a.m. and 5:30 p.m., with midweek Bible study Wednesday at 7 p.m.
Thank you for sticking around on the other side of this break. Let's continue reading the Word. Acts chapter 8, verse 28 is where we are. This eunuch who has gone 1,500 miles to worship, he was returning, he's sitting in his chariot, and he is reading the prophet Isaiah. Now, only the wealthy owned a four-wheeled chariot. It would have been covered carriage. If you can imagine that, he would have been able to travel, but not completely just roast to death in the sun. There would have been room to have servants. And we can tell he's a wealthy man because not many people own a personal copy of the book of Isaiah, because it would have been on a scroll or multiple scrolls. But he has access to this, and we'll see here in a minute why he's reading from Isaiah. But if you're reading with me in the King James and you see that the Bible actually says Isaias, E-S-A-I-A-S, that is Isaiah's name in Greek. Remember, the Old Testament came from Hebrew into English for us, and the New Testament came from Greek into English for us. And so Jeremias is Jeremiah. I've also seen Jeremy for Jeremiah, Noe, and things like that. So Isaias really is Isaiah, just when you come across that in reading. Look at verse 29. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near, join thyself to this chariot. Now notice verse 26, the angel of the Lord speaks to Philip. But now here, excuse me, in verse number 30, we see, or verse 29, the Spirit says this. Look at verse 30. And Philip ran thither to him. And he heard the eunuch reading from Isaiah and said, do you understand what you're reading? Now I want you to note and underscore that word, ran. Brother John William McGarvey, better known as J.W. McGarvey, is a well-known scholar writing in the 1800s around the time of the U.S. Civil War, or the war between the states, depending on which side you're on. He theorized in one of his commentaries on Acts that for Philip and the eunuch to meet at this place, remember, Philip's coming from Samaria, and the eunuch is coming from Jerusalem, and they meet together at this place. Philip would have had to left at least one whole day before the eunuch did. No wonder he ran. He's been waiting, and then all of a sudden the Spirit says, there's your man, and he begins to run. He might have had a leisurely pace until now, but the Lord knew how long it would take, and that's from McGarvey's commentary on Acts, page 152. Now, he hears him reading from the book of Isaiah, and friends, it is a common practice to read aloud at that time, but here we see this is all going to be divinely orchestrated. And the eunuch says, well, how can I understand except some man should guide me? So he desires that Philip would come up and sit with him. So now we've got at least three people in the chariot, probably had two servants. There's probably four people at least in this chariot. Now, I want you to notice something. He is reading, and verse 32 and 33 is a quotation from Isaiah 53, verses 7 and 8. But back then, they didn't have it broken down in chapter and verse like we do today for our modern convenience. And so that's why oftentimes Bible writers would actually include the passage of Scripture that they're quoting. Today, if we're doing it, we could say, well, he's reading from Isaiah 53, 7 and 8. But they didn't have, they could just say Isaiah. And so the place of the Scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. We see here, this is a beautiful passage, wonderful passage, in the suffering servant passage of Isaiah. But I love the eagerness and the willingness of the eunuch, because he doesn't know who Philip is. But Philip hears him reading God's word. And Philip says, do you understand what you read? And notice what the eunuch says back in verse 31. How can I except some man should guide me? Sometimes we need to be willing to say that very thing. Friends, we see in verse 34, and the eunuch answered in Philip, and he said, I pray thee, of whom does the prophet speak? Is he speaking of himself, or is he speaking of some other man? Well, we see in this passage in Isaiah, right before it, in Isaiah 42, 18 and 19, he's talking about a servant, and that servant is Israel. And we also see that God raises up one from within Israel to fulfill his mission that will suffer on the behalf of Israel. That's Isaiah 49, 5 through 7, Isaiah 52, 13 through the entire 53rd Psalm, or Isaiah chapter. But I want us to quickly, as I'm flipping back here, so you may hear my page ruffling ever so slightly, in Isaiah 56, and this will probably be the last main point we get to today, Isaiah 56, 3 through 8, the Bible says, neither let the son of the stranger that hath joined himself to the Lord speak, saying, the Lord hath utterly separated me from his people. Neither let the eunuch say, behold, I am a dry tree. Throughout this passage, Isaiah is talking about how one day both Gentiles and eunuchs will be welcomed into the fold of God. Now, I find that very interesting in light of where the eunuch is, his position in life, and what he's reading from. Friends, he's been reading, he has been reading this passage of Scripture. He owns a copy of Isaiah, so no doubt he's read it before. And he's wondering, what about me? Because I'm that part that will later come in. So Philip opened his mouth, verse 35 of Acts 8, and began at that Scripture, and he preached unto him Jesus. Friends, here's you a great lesson on evangelism. You start where the person is at, and then you teach Christ to them. I have been in Bible studies where there were people who knew a whole lot about the Bible. They just hadn't put all the pieces together yet. And so we start there. And then I've been in Bible studies with people who they may not have been able to tell you there was a difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament. So you have a little more groundwork, actually a lot more groundwork to cover in that study than you do one who can quote every book of the Bible. They just don't have the pieces all aligned perfectly yet. But friends, here's your great lesson on evangelism. Philip opened his mouth. Now, Philip could have gone back to Genesis 1. Philip could have just mentioned what had happened in Samaria. Philip could have mentioned anything else. But he began in Isaiah 53, 7 and 8, began at that Scripture and began to teach Jesus Christ unto the eunuch. Isn't that just wonderful, friends? Start where somebody is when you're teaching them the gospel, and then preach Jesus. What did he preach him? I know he preached him the gospel, 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4. The gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And Isaiah 53 is a good foreshadowing of that event. I tell you what, we're not going to get through the entirety of this story today. If you'd come back next time, we will finish our study here of the Ethiopian eunuch on reading the word. May the good Lord bless you. May he keep you. Thank you for listening.
This has been Reading the Word with Justin Reed, sponsored by the Wood Church of Christ in Woodbury.